On Our Life in Christ and in America, host Bill Hinkle interviews Congressman Doc Hastings of Washington State on the trials and tribulations of Christians in the Middle East.
Well, it's my privilege to have on our show today Congressman Doc Hastings, who's been a longtime friend of mine personally since 1992. He is serving his last term in the United States Congress. And Doc, at first, I'd like to just thank you for your service these many years to the state of Washington, to our country.
Well, Bill, thank you very much. I have to say that I never thought it would be this long, but it has gone by rather fast.
It's pretty amazing how quick it goes. Well, let's get right to the question here. I'm very curious about what's going on in the Middle East. It's on everybody's mind, in particular those of us in the Eastern Orthodox world. The birthplace of Christianity is embroiled in turmoil. And I'm not just talking about Muslim factions. From Egypt to Palestine to Iraq, we're seeing Christians being pushed out of their homes. And these are homes that have been Christian since the beginning of Christianity. Many, if not thousands, are being martyred, some forced to convert or die. Yet, with such unprecedented violence, it seems that no one in Congress is talking about this horrendous attack on these ancient Christian communities and holy places. What is the attitude of Congress on this issue, Doc? Can you give me more information?
Well, as a matter of fact, the Committee on Foreign Affairs is a committee that has jurisdiction on this in the House. I can't speak for the Senate, so everything that I will be saying here is strictly the House, and I just don't interact that much with the Senate. But actually, the Committee on Foreign Affairs has been honestly pretty active on this. They've had hearings going in this Congress, just in this Congress, going back to last year, on these specific issues regarding religious minorities in the Middle East. As a matter of fact, they had one here just last week on genocidal attacks against Christians, specifically in Syria and Iraq. So the Foreign Affairs Committee has been, they have been active from the standpoint of hearings, which is what, you know, what about what we can do right now is get information and then act accordingly. But so they're, and through them, of course, you know, the Congress, and by the way, those hearings have been bipartisan in nature. It hasn't been partisan at all. So there has, the Congress is involved in at least in the way that that they would be.
Well, that's good to hear. We haven't heard much. For some reason, it's not covered on the TV, so I think that's good. We haven't seen a lot of press coverage on these hearings either, and it's a bit frustrating for some of us in that world. I guess what are some of the policy issues that could come up? I mean, what would you like to see happen there that might protect the Christian minorities across Syria? What are some of the discussions, proposals, if any?
Well, there's been several of them. There's one that passed the House last year, and it deals with a special envoy to promote religious freedom for religious minorities in the Middle East. Now, the Senate, in this case, also passed their version this summer. Obviously, there are two different versions, and they haven't worked out the differences between the two. But that's one that deals specifically with what you're talking about.
Correct.
And there's another one that's a concurrent resolution between the two houses that would establish a Syria war crimes tribunal. Hmm. Now, that bill has passed out of the Foreign Affairs Committee and still waiting for action. So there are, when you're dealing with international issues, there's probably just a limited amount that you can do. And I'm not going to say this to blame this administration or any administrations, but typically whatever happens through the executive branch.
Right.
But the Congress has responded to some of these things.
Now, I understand there was possibly some action this morning or perhaps yet today in regard to funding and supporting moderate Syrian factions in Syria. Can you talk about that at all and what impact that might have on our subject?
Well, the issue, as you know, first of all, let's understand the obvious. The turmoil that's going on in the Middle East is pretty complicated. And that complication arises because of the split going way back 1,400 years ago to the split in the Muslim religion. And then there's different factions throughout that. So it's very, very complicated. But the recent moves of ISIS or ISIL, whichever way you want to describe it, there's no question that that's an Islamic, a radical Islamic faction. And the fact that they control now, geographically, essentially most of East Syria and a good part of Western Iraq, is disturbing because of their radical views. And there's no question that the end game for them is to bring down Western civilization, of which the United States is the most prominent part of that Western civilization. So we will be voting today. I will be voting in favor of that, to do what the president had asked us to do. And what he has asked us to do is to give him authority under the law to train, in this particular case, Syrians, free Syrians, that are opposed to the Assad regime and also opposed to ISIS or ISIL, to give the president authority to train those people to fight what's going on in the Middle East. Frankly, Bill, this is, I think, the first step of a long journey, because, again, this dispute in the Middle East has been going on for, 1,500 years or more, probably longer than that.
Of course, I know if you talk to people from Syria, there's been some frustration in observing what U.S. policy has been. It hasn't been real coherent that we've seen. And again, I'm not blaming Congress on this, because I think they probably have a better idea of a direction where they want to go. We've seen the administration waffle a bit, which has been frustrating for people. But Assad, though we could call him not definitely a friend of America, had been a friend and, I guess, a safety valve for Christians there. Christians had flourished still in Syria. And it seems now that they're just being pushed out everywhere, not just there, but Iraq. Iraq has had had a million Christians 10 years ago, and now they have 400,000. Do you actually see an end to this, basically destroying Christianity? Do we think there's any hope for us in the Middle East?
Well, first of all, this exodus, unfortunately, has been going on for some time. I've made several trips to Israel in the time that I've been in Congress, and I invariably hear from during parts of that trip of how the Christian population in Bethlehem, of all places, for example, has just slowly, there are just not many Christians left there. But the issue of Assad is, once again, you pointed out the complications of that, because it's true that Syrian Christians have been supportive of his regime. But just understand how that relates to the United States. Syria is probably the biggest puppet of Iran. And so now, and we know what Iran, the threat they have, especially if they get nuclear weapons, what that'll do to the security and safety of the United States. So it's complicated in all of that. While your specific focus, obviously, is on Christianity, it does become complicated because of the associations that have gone on in the Middle East.
Well, what advice would you have for those of us who are just on the street here in America, practicing our faith, watching the news with great concern? What would you recommend that we do, besides pray, of course?
Well, I think the most obvious thing to do is to understand the threat of radical Islam. I think people are starting to get that, especially with the terrible beheadings of two Americans and a Brit here just in the last 3 weeks or so. But this appears, unfortunately, to be the norm of this radical part of the Muslim religion. And I think, obviously, understanding what the threat in the long term is, what their goals are, so you can communicate that, is probably the best thing that one can do, because this is not going to go away. This is going to be long term. And as the world tends to shrink for a variety of reasons, economically and communication-wise, as it shrinks, then this is going to become, I think, more and more of an issue. So the best thing to do, I think, is to understand what the nature of radical Islam is and then proceed from there.
Thank you for your time today.
Bill, thank you very much, and best to you.
You've been listening to Our Life in Christ and in America with Bill Hinkle. This has been a production of the Orthodox Christian Network.